Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Amen, amen. The word of God today is there's going to be an interruption. There's going to be an interruption. This is a word that God has placed in my spirit today. Last week's message was talking about that God can use anyone. But this week, God had placed in my heart that there's going to be an interruption in your life. And the interruption that God has placed in my spirit is talking about an interruption where changes and challenges are going to come in your life that's going to interrupt you and change the flow of things. And I began to go before God and I said, what do you mean by there's going to be an interruption? He said that there's going to be a shaking in the church. And the shaking is going to interrupt you because God is trying to prepare you for the supernatural deliverance. Yes. A supernatural deliverance that's going to come over you. Now, I know that we all know how the word is, how Jesus was able to do great works. And today's time and generation, so many times it seems like he's no longer doing these great works. But God is saying that he is setting us up for a situation to come in our life so that we can be proven with faith. Because we are overcomers, but we only overcome by the word of our testimony, meaning that we have to have faith and believe enough in the word of God that we know because he said it, it settles it. See, because we're living in a time and generation that change is only going to come through the struggle. This generation does not know what it feels like to struggle. But when you look around yourself in the countries and other nations, you see people trying to make it on their day to day because they don't have a way out or hope. But we in America, we have things that look nice, smell nice, drive nice. And we have not been interrupted in our life. But God is saying that he's trying to bring an interruption so that you will get on your knees and seek him first. Some of us want a supernatural deliverance. Some of us want to be delivered. So I'm going to go here. The Hebrew meaning of hope is used here in the literal sense as a cord or thread. The figurative picture of hope looks like a rope. Now, the Hebrew word for hope was a cord and a thread twisted together. And I began to look at the scripture that God has started placing in my spirit. He was talking about hope is that rope that's sent down to somebody when they need help. You ever see somebody that needs help that fell in a ditch, they send down a rope? But the interpretation of a rope is that it's a thread and a cord twisted together. And know what you get out of it? You get strength. So I'm going somewhere with this message because I'm here to tell you that you don't get strength trying to be a thread all on your own. But you get strength when you are twisted and twined together. Then all of a sudden, not only do you have strength and faith, but now you have more than enough to overcome. So God is trying to bring us together with this word called hope. There's a scripture that we have here. And the scripture's in Hebrews 1:11. It says, now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. What is faith? It's a substance of things hoped for. We're going to talk about that today. There's things that you're hoping for and that you're trusting God for, but what God is saying that you have to first know how to get to it. All right. We want to get to success, and we want to be an overcomer. But we don't know that we got to first rely on the word of God, because the word of God is going to give you strength in the midst of the storm. Amen. The next scripture I want you to go to before I go into my main part of message, let's go to Psalms 3, 1 and 5. David said, many say of me, saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep, and I awake again because the Lord sustains me.
Yes.
Now, I want to go with the scripture here because it's saying that many said to him that God will not deliver him. How many of you are in a situation where people say to you that you're not going to get through it, or you can't make it, or your child's never going to be off the drugs? How many people are going through a situation where people said your marriage is doomed? But the word of God today is talking about knowing that hope equals strength, but strength only comes from hope and faith twisted together. Now you get strength. See, so many times we want to say that we trust in the word of God, but we don't want to bind it together. First of all, such are the things hoped for, meaning that things you have to think about and say, Lord, I know I don't see it, but I'm trusting that it's going to happen any old way. How many of you in that situation? I know I don't see it. I know I can't even see a way out. But if I twist that hope a little bit with faith, God is going to give you strength. Strength to overcome. There's situations in your life right now that you need strength. I don't know about you, but I need strength. And the only way I can get strength is I got to trust in the faith and to rely on the word of God. Now I'm going to the next scripture because I don't want to take off. Amen. Give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. We know this, the parable of the mustard seed. If you turn to Luke 13, 19, the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds. One of the smallest seeds. But here in the scripture, it shows you, here it says, it is like a grain of mustard seed. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like the grain of mustard seed, which a man taketh and casts into his garden. This is the King James Version. And it grows and wax a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodge in the branches of it. Now Jesus was talking to the people, trying to give them an idea what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, the grain of mustard seed is a really, really tiny seed. Now, they say that the grain of mustard seed, a mustard seed can move mountains. You could actually, this seed is so small, but when it's planted, it grows to be one of the biggest trees. Now, the reason why Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this is because this is how faith works. All right. If you can take a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith, and squeeze it in between the situation, you just kind of drop that seed of faith in the middle of your marriage, the little bit of faith. The little bit of faith that you can drop in between the situation that's going on at work, it's going to squeeze in the little cracks. But it says that the kingdom of heaven is like this. If you have a little bit of faith, just a little bit, somebody say a little bit. Just a little bit of faith. So many people come to me and talk to me and say, Pastor, I'm going through something. And they want this great revelation, but God said, just a little bit of faith. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And he said, when you get done with that seed becomes a big tree. Yeah. And it parts the mountain. And I like the end of that where it said the fowls of the air, the birds can live and nest in it. Now, I'm telling you right there, that shows you that after you operate in faith, guess what? Life now lives in you. Somebody's going to be able to nest in you and be able to draw from you. See, so when you're going through something, you're saying, Lord, I need strength. He said, just a little bit of faith to trust in my word. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the next scripture. Not going to hold you much longer. It says, faith without works is dead. Here's where I'm going with this message. If you turn to James, the second chapter, 14 and 26. Amen. We're going to go somewhere this morning because God's going to do great things this amen. Morning. And it says, what does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Now, this is where we get in trouble. This is the book of James, second chapter, the 14th verse. It says, what does it profit, my brethren? This is an IV. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? There's a question there. If you say you have faith in God but you have no works, he's saying, can faith save you? A lot of time we are Christians and people of God that say, yeah, I'm believing God. I have faith. I'm trusting God for it. But God is saying, do you have works along with that faith? It's like saying, I want to go to school, and you're saying, God, I believe you for faith to go to school. He opens the door. You don't ever go. You wake up every morning, well, I'm tired. I don't feel like it. That's what we do all the time. Oh, you know I'm sleepy now. God said, you asked me something. I supplied your need. Now you got to get up and work. Somebody say amen. You got to get up and work. So you got to get out of your norm self. And you got to challenge yourself to go through or to follow through in order to attain your blessing. We want to just get up, jump up. It said, Lord, please help me. Lord, I'm going through. My marriage is going through. I'm losing my job. And then you just walk away. And then he says to you, well, have you been to Bible study? No. Are you seeking my word? No. Are you religious? Yeah, I'm religious. I'm religious. But God don't want you that are religious. He said that we are supposed to be holy and acceptable. Which is your reasonable service. That means it's reasonable. He's saying if you want to be like Christ, you got to be holy. And you have to be different because God is trying to do a supernatural thing in your life. He's trying to heal the blinded eye, but he can't do it because you don't have the faith that's along the lines of supernatural faith. And I'm going to go there for a minute. Because we're talking about hope. That's why right now so many people are going through because they lost their hope. Yes. And they say, I can't make it. But remember I said, hope with what brings strength? Hope with faith. So when you're in a situation where there's no hope, that means you lost faith. If you dare say, there's no hope. So what I want you to do is say, hope. And then I'm going to also add some faith with it. And guess what? Now you're going to get strength. So do you need strength to overcome? God is saying don't give up that faith. Add that hope in there with it, and you're going to have strength to overcome. So now the scripture saying right here, says right here, it says, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? It says, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them a thing. You just say, go ahead, be blessed. He said, you know, if you ever see a scenario where somebody comes to you and needs help, And you just said, be blessed. If a brother or sister is hungry and they come to you, and you're the one full of the word of God, and all you say is, be blessed in the name of Jesus. That's what the scripture is saying. They came to you and said, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. And the works that you're supposed to do is say, well, how can I help you? So many of us do it like this. We say, well, you ever drive on the corner, you see someone that's homeless, or you drive up to the corner and all you just say to yourself, well, they wouldn't be homeless if they got a job. We all done it. But what God is saying is that faith cannot just go along with with no works. He says, so if this individual is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace and be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does this profit? Thus also faith by itself. Now that's a part I want you to see in the scripture. It says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. So it's dead. That's why we're not growing spiritually. Some of us have mission statements in our life. We say to ourselves, this is what I want to be. This is how I'm going to be. But God is saying there's going to be disruptions. And the disruptions is not because of the Lord. It's because your faith is dead. And he's saying to each and every one of us, do you want to be a soldier that's fighting a fight of faith so that you not only can withstand against the enemy, but not only that, but you can also go to those that are sick and afflicted and said, rise and be healed. Yes. How many of you want to go to your family members that are in bondage and they need deliverance, and instead of you just walking away saying they're the way they are because they did it to themselves, God said, can you speak life into their life? Because of the little bit of faith, if you can just touch them with a little bit of faith, it's going to take root in their life and it's going to break them through. Because somebody's going through some struggles. They're going through interruptions in life. But the interruption is not going to hold you hostage. Because faith without works is dead. But I believe that each and every one of you know how to put works to your faith. That means you got to get up every morning and work it. Amen. Somebody said, I got to work it. Amen. I have to work it. I got one, two more scriptures and I'm done. Hallelujah. I know I lost my glasses somewhere, but that's all right. I got them in my pocket. Praise God. The beggar received his sight. If you turn to Luke, the 18th chapter, 35. Through 40. And this is what Jesus was teaching. He said this. And this is what happened with Jesus. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside. And I want to give you this. Jesus was going to Jericho, and a blind man was just sitting around by the roadside. This is how it works in the kingdom of God. And it says here, and when he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what was happening? That's what the blind man did. He heard the crowd and then he asked, what is happening? Jesus was just going to Jericho and all of a sudden he heard a crowd make a noise, and the blind man said, what is happening? And since then what happened here, it says they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So Jesus wasn't there to do any particular thing. He was just what? Passing by. He was just walking on by. And this is what happened in the next verse. It's in Luke 18. And it says here, and when the crowd, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the thing I like about this passage here was he didn't just ask for help. He said, "Lord, have mercy on me." He repented. He said he knew that Jesus, because he heard the reputation of Jesus, and Jesus was just passing by. He wasn't there to do any particular work. But he yelled out to the Lord. He said, "Have mercy on me." And then the next passage says, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. This is how we do when we're religious. We're having a special service marching. We come this far by faith, leading on the way. We just want to be religious and tight in the march. They're like, "We're leading Jesus." They had a plan. They were like, "Yeah, we're coming down here with the key." And this blind man yelled out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." And the only thing they can do around Jesus is, "Shut up." That's how we get sometimes. When you're religious, you got a lot of form and formalities, but Jesus wasn't there for the parade. He was there for deliverance. Somebody got to understand what I'm saying. Jesus was not there for the parade. He was there to set the captive free and open the blind eyes. So as they were moving through the crowd, they said to this young man, he said, they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he now this is what I like, but he shouted all the more. Some of you are going through something and somebody just said, the devil got you in the corner and said, "Be quiet, don't say a word." But when he said, "You overcome by the word of your testimony," the devil wants you to be quiet because he don't want you to scream out with joy. He don't want you to say Jesus. He don't want you to yell out the name of Jesus. He wants you to be quiet. But God is saying that the yokes are going to be broken when you testify of his goodness. The yokes are going to be broken. So that's why the enemy tries to get us in our pity seat. We sit down in the corner and say, "Oh, woe's me. I'm not going to tell nobody that I lost my job. I'm not going to tell nobody that they repossessed my car." But God is saying, testify of his goodness in spite of, because don't wait till the battle's over, but shout now. Shout now. And know that God is going to bring you through. Because we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Shout now. Somebody said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." The devil doesn't like you saying that name, Jesus. The devil starts to twitch in his own seat when you say, "Thank you, Jesus." Because that means you have hope in the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because I don't want to be a religious person. You know what I want to be? I want to be like Jesus right here after they said, "Be quiet." He shouted all the more. That's what you got to do. If you're going through something, shout all the more. Just yell out Jesus all the more. Yell out Jesus all the more. Because in this passage, when he began to shout the more, "The Son of David, have mercy on me," Jesus stopped and ordered the men to bring him. You understand, he ordered the man to be the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him something. This is what he said. "What do you want me to do for you?" That's what Jesus is saying right now. You cannot come up for prayer and not know what you want him to do for you. See, this is where we get in trouble. We want people to prophesy. We want people to have this mystical power. But Jesus didn't come up there and guess stuff. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He didn't come up and say, "Well, now it's your job to guess what's going on in my mind." He didn't play that game. And why we do that sometimes? Because we want to appear as if we got more powers than the average. But God said he takes the ordinary people. He went with the disciples and he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Yes, Lord. Yeah. We want those with the degrees and those that study and all those that went to seminary or whatever. He's dead in the schools, but I believe in going with the Holy Ghost and getting the teaching from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is what happened. After he told him, see, they said, bring him to me, and he came, and Jesus asked him, he said, what do you want me to do? And the Lord, he said, I want to see, he replied. So he had a request. He said, Lord, I want to see. Amen. What do you want Jesus to do? And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Now, you hear that? He said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Yes. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Some of us keep on coming back week after week after week after week after week. And you don't even understand that it's your faith that's holding you back. Because the devil was talking to you throughout the week, and you said, I'm not going to trust in God. But what I need you to understand, each and every one that's here to hear, it said here that his faith, Jesus said to him, it was your faith that helped you out. It wasn't the man. It was the faith in the God. How many of you have faith in God today? Hallelujah. So he's saying like this, he doesn't have to do a special powerful prayer. He said, your faith has made you whole. It was his faith. So when we sit back and say, Lord, I've been on this trail for years after years struggling, and I've never been delivered yet. God is saying, what's going on with your faith? He's challenging you today. I was talking to the people of God earlier, mentioning that we want to know if we can be used by God. And God is saying all you have to do is be a willing vessel. Amen. Willing to be used by him. But the next thing we go through is that we don't want to put the works in our own hands. God is saying faith without works is dead. That means when you're going through and you're saying, Lord, it feels like I'm in a valley of dry bones. He's saying because you don't have the works, you're not operating in the faith. So when you feel like your spiritual relationship is dried up, even though you quote scriptures and you read the word of God and you pray, you're saying, I'm still not going nowhere because God said you aren't working your faith. Ready to wrap it up. One more verse. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. And that's what I like. After he got done, God helped you. How many of you been blessed with something? You know God blessed you. How many of you? And you know what he did after God blessed him? After Jesus said, bless him, what did he do? He did what? He followed him and praised God. He did not. You see what I'm saying? This is where we mess up. We go before God and we go to the church and we say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me for a job. Then we pray for you for a job. And then we don't see you for 5 months. We want God to bless our relationships, our marriage, our kids. He don't see you for a year until it's Easter. We don't know that Jesus said, I'm going to do it for you, but you better follow me. You better work your faith to maintain it. So there's a responsibility on the church today. And I'm going to wrap it up with this, if we all can stand. He received the sight. And he said to him, immediately he received the sight, and Jesus praised, and he began to follow Jesus, praising God, and when all the people saw it, they also praised God. And I want to go out with this. They began to praise God. Some people said, you don't need all that in church. You don't need to be that excited. you surely don't need to be that excited about God. But I remember I went to a basketball game, and somebody just dunked the ball. And the God that I serve healed a life, delivered someone from cancer, restored your relationship. And we can't even praise God in the building, but I'm going to dare you right now, praise God in your faith. Hallelujah. Praise God in your faith. Hallelujah. See yourself breaking through. Even though there's going to be interruptions in your life, God is saying your faith along with hope will give you strength in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask that everyone bow their heads. Hallelujah. God said to us when we first came here that we were going to take the city. And I looked at this place, we come from a bigger church, and God said, if you have faith, you're going to just step in the direction I led you, and you're going to see him move a mountain. And when I lost my job, I got a new job at Lockheed Martin, and they gave me more and more money at request because of faith in God. Hallelujah. There's going to be an interruption in your life, your life, your life, your life, your life. But do you have faith and trust in God? It's time to be an overcomer, church. Look at that interruption that's going on in your life right now. And know that it's just placed there to line you up with promise.